This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Hour 2, G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic Monday afternoon as we're now headed for basketball playoffs. We're going to be heading for hockey playoffs after Wednesday night. Rangers are heading for a series in Detroit with the pregame coming up at 5 o'clock. CY is going to join us at 4:20. It's time now for your NFL news of the day, and here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. We are 10 days away from the NFL draft. How exciting is this? And our coverage here at The Fan is brought to you by Pluckers, our path to the draft, our good friends at Pluckers, man. Looking forward to draft night. Going to be a party at all 8 Pluckers locations with all the Tolos. Opening night of the draft, also brought to you by our friends at Zero Res. So draft season is always phenomenal. The Hayes in the Barn, right, brought us, from my understanding. No more film to crunch.
Yeah, I've got working right now. Next couple of days, I'm going to finalize my – I got to 215 players. I usually try and do 200, but there was some 15 more that I needed to make sure. So – I'm going to put together my stack, which is the players from 1 to 215. I'll put them in order, get those up on the website, put my board up on the website. So that'll all be next week leading up to the draft for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Really excited at the partnership that we have with Dallas Cowboys and DallasCowboys.com, and to be able to once again bring that to everybody.
Power Hour with Sean and RJ tomorrow morning. Bobby?
Yeah, I'm on.
Draft Power Hour?
Yeah, they found out that they like that segment they do called Ask Reddit.
They found that out, or you told them?
I was talking to Bobby about it, and he's somehow so they asked me to come in for that, and we're going to spend an hour with Bobby and I, Sean and RJ and Peyton talking about probably the draft. So look forward to that as well.
Have you ever seen a player built like this? Speaking of the draft, I saw John Ledyard put this out. So this dude, Olu Fashanu?
Yes, Penn State.
Penn State offensive lineman.
Right.
How would you describe him physically? Big guy.
Big guy, long armed, but I wouldn't call him overly impressive physically, though.
Okay, well, I'm curious if you've ever seen somebody built like this, because he's 6'6", 312 pounds. He's right. Objectively huge.
Yeah.
34-inch arms.
Right.
That's awesome, right?
Yeah.
He's a pterodactyl. His hands are 8.5 inches.
Right.
That's like in the fifth percentile that for is, hand size.
Yeah, that's a really strange for someone who's that long armed. The hand size, yeah, that's pretty.
I'm blown away at that.
Yeah, he. But see, that's what I'm saying. He, when you watch him on tape, I wouldn't say that. Like, you always try and compare when you're talking about blown away by offensive linemen, especially collegiate ones. I think about what I saw with when Tyron Smith and how he developed and how he looks and stuff like that's. That's kind of the measuring stick that I always use. But yeah, this kid, it is very, very rare to have arm length like that and have hands that small. Now, you might be in a situation, too, where you have broken bones and fingers and stuff, and they measure your hands. Sometimes maybe they don't get them to stretch completely, and you're trying to measure from the tip of your pinky to your thumb, the tip of the thumb, and sometimes you have some disfigurement that causes your hands not to be as wide as they need to be.
Crazy. I didn't know people were made like that, where you're huge everywhere,
right,
and then boom, here's your tiny little hands.
Well, we've seen guys that are like extremely big but have really small feet. That's something that
That's
a thing too. Yeah, it's kind of a strange. I've seen offensive tackles that are 300-pound guys but they don't have really very good shoe size to them.
Well, I'm glad. So this is not the first time you've ever seen something like this. Huge guy, small hands. Yeah. This is relatively common, I guess. That was just surprising. I didn't know people were built that way.
Right.
Big congratulations. Devontae Smith is now a premium paid wide receiver with the Eagles. 3-year contract extension. And he is, he's definitely a really, really good player. And we know that CeeDee Lamb is going to be garnering more dollars than this. CeeDee Lamb not showing up to voluntary workouts today at the Star in Frisco. So I think that's something we had envisioned happening here as he's waiting for his next contract. But, I saw this from Warren Sharp in regards to Devontae Smith. 50 wide receivers averaged 11 or more air yards on targets where you're, 20-plus receptions on that. But he's the only one to catch 72% of those targets.
Wow.
So he's consistently being thrown the ball down the field, and he's consistently coming up with the catch at a rate that no one can really compare to. So
maybe like you were saying in that first hour, more single coverage for him, more against the second best corner.
Yes.
You know, that contributes to it. But I do think it's very notable. He's getting a clean $25 million a year. There's no window dressing on that. Now, maybe it's not 4 or 5 years, but it's 51 guaranteed, 3 and 75. To me, that sets CeeDee's floor at least at 26. If I'm him and his agent right now, yeah. I'm targeting 30. You know, we're settling for 27.5. And in an emergency, you know, if CeeDee comes to me crying in the night, I'll say, okay, let's go ahead and accept 26. But we're not accepting 25.
Mm-mm. No, yeah. they will not be accepting that at all. And they shouldn't. CeeDee Lamb has now played himself into star wide receiver guarantee top five dude.
Yeah, the fact of not accepting it, but if you think about putting him in the top three of the wide receivers, paid wide receivers, I'd say that's a pretty good payday for him, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So that to me, you know, and you're talking about not settle, and you know, you could very well be right.
But the market just got bumped up from Devontae. That's what happened.
I'm always interested because, like I said, I always believed that Hill with the Dolphins was making $30 million, and actually that number is $25 million.
That was 2 years ago, though, and the cap's gone up.
That's what I'm saying, though. I'll be interested to see where this thing really, really goes and what that contract really is.
Yeah, because they'll report, like you're saying, Tyreek Hill, report $30 million a year.
Right.
But in actuality, it's more like 25.
It makes the player look really greedy. But if he makes $25, $26 million a year, I would say that they're doing pretty well there.
Well, the Eagles right now have the fourth highest paid quarterback. Saquon Barkley, fourth highest paid running back. Fourth highest paid wide receiver, A.J. Brown. Fifth highest paid wide receiver, now with Devontae Smith in terms of average annual value. Fifth highest paid tight end. Fourth highest paid offensive tackle. Fifth highest paid offensive tackle. And the highest paid offensive guard. Like they are, their offense, they have thrown all the money at it. And they better be a heck of a lot better than they were last year. Because their offense when you got top five paid players at seemingly every single position, you better go out there and score a bunch of points.
I mean, this is, I think, great for the Cowboys because the Eagles are becoming top heavy. They don't have the depth really to sustain any sort of injuries that might happen throughout the year. And they're not committing to, we're not contending, let's rebuild. They're trying to cling to success when all the signs should be telling a team, hey, let's scale back. They're throwing big money at guys.
Would you be worried, though, that every time that Kellen Moore seemed to have the top at that position, that their offense was pretty good?
Oh, I think their offense is going to be pretty good. You know,
see, I was thinking that maybe this thing would be an absolute disaster with the quarterback and his inability to really function in this type of offense, how Kellen Moore likes to call plays. That would be my concern right there. But when Kellen Moore had the top rated this and the top rated that, you know, it seemed to like work out for him pretty well.
It was it's what the Cowboys were and sort of still are,
right?
Where against poor teams, he can really make that team look awful and you can blow teams out. And then when you go toe-to-toe with a really, really good defense and a really sound defensive coordinator,
there you go.
Now all of a sudden, you know, in big games versus good teams, will that Eagles offense perform? Because the Cowboys offense rarely did.
Right.
So that'll be the huge differentiator.
I think the biggest problem for Philadelphia this year will be Jalen Hurts in this offense. That will be the problem.
Jalen Hurts' ability to
function in that offense.
What is it about the offense?
I just don't think when you start talking about the ball and how Kellen Moore, we all know what Kellen Moore was doing.
He's not setting you up for advantageous positions here.
He's
You're not going to have wide receivers running wide open all over the place.
He's not scheming people open.
Right.
He is going to make Jalen Hurts have to throw some really accurate passes.
Mm.
Yeah. The running game's going to be less. Yeah, I think Jalen Hurts takes another half step back this year.
You know, or just and then the predictability factor of it as well.
There
that was something that was huge once Kellen Moore left.
More turnovers, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, that's a huge bummer if you're paying a bunch of guys top five at their position, and then you give Kellen Moore as the guy who gets to use those ingredients.
We could see.
It's like, what are you doing here? That's a huge. Say what you want about the Eagles, and they do a lot of things better than the Cowboys. But looking at Kellen Moore all those years in your division, and then thinking, yes, that's the guy I want handling all these top five paid players here on my offense.
There is a possibility that we could have three new head coaches this time next year in this division. Philadelphia, Dallas, Giants. Mm. If you think of if Philadelphia stumbles and they don't have success,
they're itching to get rid of that guy.
And then you know if Dallas doesn't have the success that Jerry Jones envisions for that, and then with what's going on with the Giants, he's on his potentially his last year. This division can completely turn over.
Well, I'll tell you the other cool thing about the Eagles situation is they were unable to get Hurts to sign a contract as team-friendly as Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
It's looking like three more years with Hurts. So that's probably why they're not attempting any sort of a rebuild. They're building around him and probably hoping to get so lucky in the draft that they can make a defense on the cheap.
Yeah, well, they had the multiple first-round picks. Remember how they were dealing? They were moving guys around.
Mm-hmm.
Those multiple first-round pick guys that they've picked up have not played great for them. So that's a
defensive tackle. They have the
not.
Linebacker.
Yeah, they have
yeah.
not.
Yeah, Jordan Davis and Nolan Smith.
Where you figured that they were going to take advantage of those picks, that so far has not come to be a factor.
Well, we have the Jets unveiling new uniforms today. They look very similar to the ones they've been wearing, but I would say they do look sharper. But they are getting made fun of because it doesn't look like they've changed all that much about them. But I do think the improvements that were made were actually improvements. And then the Jaguars unveiled that they will be wearing some of their throwback uniforms, which is weird to say because it seems like
1995 was their first year in the league.
That's their first year in the league. Yeah. So it's not like this is a franchise that goes that far back. But what you remember Fred Taylor looking like and Jimmy Smith looking like
uniform. Would this be with the teal numbers outlined in gold?
Up on the shoulders?
Yeah, you got the cat on the shoulders. You still got the cat on the helmet, black helmet. And then it's that turquoisey, whatever color they got there as their main. Teal? Is that okay? Yeah. Teal. So they're bringing that back out. And yes, it's white numbers with gold outline.
Okay.
And then that teal
jersey.
But I do think that's better than the new age ones that they've been wearing for the last few years. So that's your uniform update at the moment.
Thank you, Chief. Yes, there's a look at your NFL news of the day here in the G-Bag Nation. When we come back, I think we're going to snuggle in the top 10 here. We'll check his out, send him some love on social. But your guy, CY, Chris Young, Rangers GM, is coming up in 1 hour there in the 420. So we'll do top 10, 320. What are we looking like today, Chief?
Well, it is tax day, 877-881-1053. The top 10 things, adult things, that we were not prepared for next here in the nation.
Hey, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Segment's brought to you by Window Nation. Call 866-90-NATION. Go to windownation.com. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by our friends at the Frankels. Life's unpredictable accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Here's the Chief.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, happy tax day. Whew. 877-881-1053, today's top 10 list of the day, as the Woolly Bully continues to be the proud dad that he is, getting baby Eliza home, and shout out to Mama Maya as well. But I have the top 10 adult things no one prepared you for on National Tax Day, because this is always just a bit of a whirlwind, and I mean, we all have a guy, right? Like, nobody's trying to sit there in their own little desk at home and try and crunch these numbers,
Hagee,
right?
Hagee
is definitely that dude. He's a human calculator, but he's actually qualified.
Yeah.
You know, not that he's been schooled in the realm of CPA, I don't believe, but he understands it. He gets it. He's a numbers guy. So I guess he would be, the one guy at the station, if you had to depend on to get it done, he would be the guy we would all trust.
Yes.
But we all have a guy, right?
We all do.
We don't?
No, we do the little website, whatever it's called.
A little TurboTax or something?
Yeah, yeah, one of them.
You just punch it in and boom, they spit it out to you, easy money?
Well, okay. I don't do it, but yeah.
Wifey?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think Walchuk goes up to, I don't know if he does it online or if he goes up to a TurboTax or something like
Didn't
that.
Didn't we talk about this debate at spring training? Didn't we all talk about that we were walking one day up to the stadium talking about taxes and doing taxes and how, because we're on all these podcasts now and all these other things and these 1099s.
Oh, and figuring it all out.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, nobody wants to have to, there's a way to kind of figure all this out. But with all the things that you get involved with now, like...
Yeah, the gig economy. It's tough to hand over your deal and enter your stuff in the website and be done with it.
Yeah.
I don't want to take on the project of trying to understand everything, because I feel like it's a never-ending, like challenge.
I would be terrified that I would forget something.
Yeah.
That I would like, oh.
Yes. You end up in jail.
Now I can blame it on
the
guy.
Yeah, you forgot. You forgot to put in what you got from the Cowboys. You know, that kind of thing.
Right. I'm just scared to go to some people because I know these people before they started doing taxes.
You know what I mean? Yes, definitely.
Yeah. I know what they were doing before they were doing taxes. And they might tell me, hey, man, you're going to get $3,000 back and you really got six.
Yes.
I'm going to hook you up.
Yeah, just like give me that bank account. You know, I'll route it straight to you. You don't need to see the physical check, right?
That's the whole thing, that 1099, because if you're not thinking about it, you keep your eye on the ball. You know, you look up and you're like, wait a minute, I owe $7,000 for what? Because you didn't take the money out to begin with.
It gets complicated, especially when you buy a house. I mean, there's just so many added layers to it. Working multiple jobs.
Yeah.
You work a job that doesn't take the taxes for you. Next thing you know, you could be staring down the barrel of a hefty fine or maybe a year in jail. Like, they do not mess around with their money.
True.
You know? No, they put Ronald Isley in jail. They don't play.
Nope.
No, they don't play at all. So it is not something that I want to mess with. I want somebody to do this for me every time.
Could I ask a question here about, did you see Mark Cuban's tweet today?
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
Is that a flex?
Is
that a flex, what he just did?
Of course it's a flex.
Talking about all the money he paid in taxes?
$280 million, was it?
Well, so yeah, yesterday he had tweeted out, he was responding to somebody who was kind of calling him out about taxes, and then he says, I pay what I owe. Tomorrow, I will wire transfer to the IRS $288 million. Yeah. This country has done so much for me. I'm proud to pay my taxes every single year. But then he came out and confirmed, I guess he had overshot it just a tiny little bit.
His CPA had done that. They overshot it, and they talked about it in December, and they overshot it by several million, and they said, no, you owe less. So he came out better from what they projected in December.
Yeah, well, he just screenshotted it and he was like, sorry, the number I mentioned yesterday was wrong. Here's the official number because he's now officially sent the wire transfer over. It was $275.9.
$5 million less, right?
Correct. So, I mean, when you're thinking about it, that like you're saving
almost $6 million.
Saving a good amount of millions. When I first saw it, I read it as $288,000.
No.
$288 million did not even compute for me. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't even. I guess when you sell the team, that's probably why he's paying more than ever this year.
Well, I wonder.
Oh, yeah, capital gains.
But I wonder if that falls under this particular tax bracket or this tax cycle. You know, the sell of the team, did it happen?
I think it did go final last year.
Was it? I thought it was
December
final
23rd or something like
was
that.
Was it final?
I'm sure they timed it exactly how we wanted it to be timed. So
to where it does it affects you. You want to go ahead and pay the taxes now or next year?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That was a fat one. Who did theirs first? Like, how long has your taxes been done?
Oh, mine aren't done. I file an extension almost every year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I'm bad at this list. Like, I'm going to bat maybe under 200 with this list that you give.
On the adult things that no one prepared you for?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not prepared, didn't adapt, you know?
Right.
Just asked my mom and, you know, sucked at stuff, really.
Yeah, I did a lot of, once I graduated from high school, my dad was like, all right, like, now you're going to have to start handling things.
Yeah.
You know, when those annoying phone calls take place, you got appointments, setting this up, doing that, doing that. You're going to have to do that. That was a bit of a whirlwind for me. Anything that jumps out to you guys personally on thing you weren't prepared for as a child and you get to adulthood and you're like, OS. Because like for me, like the how to fix things, you know, the taxes stuff, the credit. Like I had no idea the credit situation. I avoided the credit card. I was just scared of the credit card until I was probably 25 years old. I was like, okay. I actually need this.
Yeah,
I'm going to need this bad right now. Yeah. So, I mean, all that kind of stuff was definitely news to me. Cooking, I mean, I didn't learn how to cook until I was probably 23.
Oh, I think you're ahead of the curve at 23, figuring out how to get that done.
And that's like simple. Here's like
an
egg sandwich. Mowing the lawn.
Mowing
I was
yard
doing.
For me because my dad wanted me to have nothing to do with the yard work. I mean, in a way, like he was afraid that I was going to mess up the yard. Like, I was putting fertilizer on the yard and not watering the yard, you know, and then that kind of thing. Like, he goes, did you put water on it? I'm like, was I supposed to? He goes, oh, my gosh. Next thing you know, our yard looked like it was so burnt up. Ooh. Dad says, you stay away.
Yeah.
I honestly,
it was a heady play by you, big picture.
No, I was really trying to help the situation. I didn't know you were supposed to put water on it.
I was probably mowing the lawn at 8 years old.
Wow.
You know, I was in there.
Good for you.
And I wanted to. You were on pace to be a legit man. Yes. I don't know what ended up happening down the line there, but you came out of the gates just on fire.
Whatever sounded fun. So I could cook because I wanted to make desserts, you know? I would mow the lawn because I wanted to ride the riding lawnmower because I didn't have a go-kart.
Yeah, see, riding lawnmower. Yeah. When we leveled up to the riding lawnmower, it was like, okay, this is a ton of fun now. Now I can't wait to be tall enough to do this thing.
Trying to pop wheelies by going in reverse and then throwing it in high gear.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I had to wait until Dad left the house to do that one.
That's impressive. Let's see here. We've got the 903... the 682 credit cards and bank accounts. I had one credit card for 5 years before realizing I could have more than one. Balancing a checkbook, how to deal with bleep holes in the 817.
Yeah. I think I've only balanced a checkbook two or three times. I remember the little registry you'd have inside the checkbook. You'd write a check and then you'd go write like what it was minus this amount and here's my new balance. I did that like twice. I'm like, I'm never doing that again.
No.
That took forever to write that crap out.
I'm glad
we're doing something we want to do.
We're not really doing the checks thing. It doesn't feel like as much anymore. I don't know. I don't ever have to deal with it.
And it sucks because there's a delay. When you go to online banking, it's not an accurate, like, up-to-the-minute representation of where your money is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it is, I think it's still a valuable skill to have, but I never got it.
Well, outside looking in here for the adult things that no one prepared you for, outside looking in, how to cook and time management skills.
Hmm.
These are according to Americans, by the way. At number 10, we have fixing, like the home repairs.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times you're just.
Oh, dude.
I'll tell you what's helped me.
You're out on it.
I'll tell you what's helped me with home repairs and just general building is YouTube.
Yes.
I will watch a video over and over and over until
how to construct something, or how to fix.
Together.
The fixing is where it's like now there's a lot of variables.
How to make dressers, whatever, you know, like you get these dressers from Target or whatever, and you put them together. Like there are some quality videos out there of people showing you how to do that stuff.
And I would say it's a very important skill to just go head along into because the handymen these days, there's no throwing a guy $40 to fix something. It's going to be somewhere between $300 and $750 if that handyman comes out to do anything. Oh, your door's broken. I got to put a new lock in that's going to take me 10 minutes. $350.
Mm.
You know, they got bills to pay too.
Right.
Inflation's real for them too. So I think it's more important than ever to pick up those handyman skills ASAP.
214, cleaning and doing the like bathroom cleaning in particular is one that you may have an embarrassing moment at some point where you realize, oh, wow, what I thought was a clean bathroom is not actually a clean bathroom. That could be a real come-to-Jesus moment.
That is toothpaste that's accumulated in my sink. So I'm not quite sure. And is that like beard trimmings mixed in with the toothpaste?
Yes, yeah, so you get very comfortable with your own body hair. And then someone steps in, and then you're like, oh, no, everything becomes very apparent.
I guess this mirror is not clean. I have no problem seeing myself in the last 4 years.
469.
I don't remember cleaning it ever.
Keeping a woman happy, says the 469. 817, navigating work, culture, politics, just doing your job and going home doesn't cut it.
Mm-mm. Oh, yes. Yeah, you got to figure that out. You know, read some books on that. That's tough because you don't realize how important it is until you've wasted like 15 years of your possible career.
What?
Oh, gosh. 817, yard work after buying a house with a massive backyard. Be careful what you wish for. Yeah, sometimes you bite off a little bit more than you can chew. And I think that's probably when you're a decade in an apartment and then all of a sudden you get that yard, it's a little bit, oh crap. I got stuff to do here.
Yes. My lawn is 3/4 acre. It costs significantly more. I'm telling you this, it didn't cost that much more and very much worth it if you have little kids.
Yeah.
If you don't have little kids, I think you want as small as yard as possible.
Yeah. Why would I want to manage something huge for no reason?
Yeah.
Number 9, how to parent.
That's a major one.
I mean, and you'll pick from your own parents.
I didn't know if it fell into the category.
It falls into the category, okay, according to this particular list.
I was going to say it, and then I thought, nah, I better not say that.
Well, I mean, every parent finds themselves scratching their heads. Like, I have no idea what to do or what I just did. I'm questioning. I don't know if I did the right thing. Everybody's kind of flying by the seat of their pants a little bit.
Yeah, and when you try and give advice to somebody about doing it, you're really not too sure you're giving them the best advice.
Number 8, how to do your taxes. Number 7, your life is going to be a whole bunch of fake it till you make it moments.
Oh, yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Done a lot of faking it.
Yeah.
Number 6, friend circle is going to shrink mightily.
It's 60,
especially after kids.
At 60 years old, it's gotten way small for me. Way small.
Yeah. It's the way it goes, man.
Yeah.
Number 5, how to handle rejection, both personally and professionally. Yeah. You know, I think that's a good thing about, I think that's one of the things about sports, you know, like learning how to deal with not being good at times or losing or whatever it is. Number 4, the metabolism slows down.
Way big.
I mean, I felt like people were, like old people couldn't wait to tell you. Like they couldn't wait to be like, oh, just wait till you get into your 30s or whatever. Like I feel like they were preparing you for that, at least from my standpoint. Number 3, how to manage a budget. That's challenging.
You'll learn when you have
people. A lot of this you learn on the fly.
Well, you learn because then they start calling you about things you owe, money you owe and stuff like that, and then you
like, crap, I gotta buckle down a little bit. Yeah. Number 2 is how to establish credit, for sure. Honestly, working in the car business helped me with that one.
Yeah.
I was 27 years old figuring that out.
I don't think people take enough pride in their credit score. I mean, I'm religious about mine.
You can keep that thing 800. You can get it fixed pretty quick.
I don't know. Took me a while.
Yeah, well, if you get on the phone and you like got to buy a house,
no,
your mortgage guy is going to know some guys.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. I was taking the pride of, you know, that.
Yeah.
Like I was able, like there were some things that happened to me early in life that I was able to like overcome. And now it's to the point where like I keep it squeaky. I keep it squeaky, squeaky.
820?
812.
Look at you, Brian.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really strong, bro.
Yeah.
Number 1 is we were not prepared for the American dream being extremely expensive.
Yes.
And now more than ever.
Yeah.
Like over the last 10 years, that has really become the case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that is it. There is your top 10 adult things no one prepared you for on National Tax Day.
Thank you, Chief. Coming up at 4 o'clock here in the G-Bag Nation, we will talk Cowboys with you, the C-Note. CD has not arrived, and other interesting stuff. Including Todd Archer from ESPN writing an article that the Cowboys need to adjust their thinking when it comes to extensions. We'll get to the bottom of that. Chief's going to tell you a little bit about some of his friends over there at Platinum Ford. Then we're going to get to the best of the weekend coming up next year in the nation. All right, welcome back, Nation. C-Note coming up at 4 o'clock. A number of very interesting things going on with the Cowboys with like 10 days till the draft. Here's the Chief.
All right, boys, what a weekend it was. 877-881-1053. Shout out to Scotty Scheffler getting it done in a big way. And yesterday was pretty fun because it was, I mean, he was in the lead the entire time, but there was a few minutes yesterday where things got a little bit tight and it was a four-way tie at the top of the board. And it was Max Homa, it was Morikawa, and it was Oberg, your guy from
Sweden.
And brought us, congratulations once again, brought us one, our Masters Odyssey pool. Yeah. So, brought us is now $300 richer at specs.
Looking forward to that, man.
You're looking forward to that. I know you are looking forward to that. So
we might have to do like a remote at the parking lot there at specs maybe. And I just like buy all that stuff and we just hand out beers. I think it's a bad idea, right? We can't hand out
the
beers.
Old beer handout. Oh,
not officially. Yeah, that wouldn't be part of the promotion.
Yeah, we can't do that. I can't promote that. That's. No. But maybe, yeah. You know what I mean. Yeah,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
You never know what happens.
You never know
when Mardi Gras Brada shows up.
That's true. That's
especially
a good point.
Especially with $300 in his pocket.
Well, speaking of money in the pocket, Scotty Scheffler has now made almost $13 million in on-course earnings alone over the past 35 days.
Yes.
Dang, dude.
He's had, I said it earlier, he was a 6-foot missed putt to maybe have 4 wins in a row. And so just think about that.
Yeah, he's about halfway to where Tiger was when he won, 8 or 9 in a row?
Yeah.
How dominant is like the run at number one? Is how much does it compare? I think it's just a brief window of time compared to Tiger's.
Tiger's is incredible. That's like the Beatles and number one albums that they've had, that kind of run they have. But Scottie's done a really, really nice job. The questions that people are asking now about Scottie Scheffler is, could he be the face of golf? And people are worried.
Does he have the gravitas?
I don't think so.
That's the problem. Here we are. We're trying to think about, like, if
he hasn't done it yet, he's not going to do it.
Well, but his personality does not lead ones to believe that he is the guy that can handle that.
And I mean,
he might be driving around right now listening to us. A hell of a player, but I don't think he wants to be the face of golf.
That's it. Yeah,
I don't think he wants
not
that
his personality.
It's like Corey Seager is one of the best baseball players I've ever seen. I don't think Corey Seager wants to be the face of baseball.
No,
I would think he would not want to be.
And I think Scheffler could handle it. I don't think it would break him down. But it's just like, do you have the charisma to say stuff that's going to make people like you so much and root for you or against you? And I just think he's an amazing player.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have dudes that are like that.
But he is very much about the process and about the work, and everything about him is super positive that way. But you're in an era now where you have LIV Golf and the PGA, and you have outspoken guys on both sides. Who is that guy that kind of could bring everybody together? That, Tiger Woods is trying, but it's still difficult. And and Scottie's on such a great run, and he's about to have a child. So maybe the next time that we see Scottie will be at Valhalla at the PGA there in Kentucky.
Ooh, the next major. First time we get a chance to see him with his dad's strength.
Yeah,
because we haven't even seen that version of him yet.
Well, good point. Like I said, there'll be some
bombskis.
There'll be some times here though where he's going to be away from the game because of the birth of his child.
My best of the weekend, Chief. We only lost by 4 to a team that beat us by 25 a couple of weeks ago in the girls' 7th grade basketball. So that was a big dub.
Okay,
very proud of the squad. Yeah,
the progress has been huge.
We're getting back
here.
Did you lose a gal here recently though?
Yeah. Yeah, we lost. Yeah, you saw that Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking for a post. Yeah. Okay, 7th grade girls basketball. We play at PSA. We lost our biggest player.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we play about intermediate level. Not the beginning level, but definitely not the advanced.
Looking for a front court player?
Yeah, we need some rebounding.
You guys got some NIL money?
A little shot blocking.
Yeah.
No, but you'll be on scholarship for the first season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's definitely a great incentive right there.
Bang.
But this is the tough part about the job that I know can be difficult, the recruiting aspect of it all. It's a lot of sleepless nights. I know you're traveling all over the Metroplex, and you're just trying to, you're shaking hands, you're kissing babies, promising mom and dad that, hey, this girl's about to go dominate. She's going to get all the playing time.
And that's why when we talk about, like, the coaches not being able to handle the NIL stuff, I'm like, dude, you have to do this at every level of sport. Yeah. Your kids can leave at any time. You have to be likable and present them with good opportunities in amateur sports for them to want to stick around. Because I think a lot of coaches are constantly doing that.
Well, I do believe you might have a new favorite golfer now, Dawson. This was Max Homa, who performed very, very impressively over the course
now
of the Masters.
He's got a personality.
This guy's got a personality. Yeah. After yesterday's round, he met with the media and they asked him, like, what's tomorrow going to feel like for you? Or like, what's today going to feel like after this Masters? And this is how that interaction went.
What do you think tomorrow will feel like? I haven't drank in a really, really, really long time. I've been planning for Sunday after the Masters. So, probably not great.
Nice, dude. Probably not feeling good right now. I mean, how is Max Homa feeling right now? Has he even woken up out of his drunken slumber? Who knows?
Man, you take some weeks off or some months off, and then you go hit it hard. It is the hangover from hell.
Yeah.
One time I quit for like 3 months. This was like 20 years ago. And my first night back, I was like,
question it?
I'm going to take it easy tonight. I had like only 5 or 6 pints, right, of a nice pale ale.
Yeah,
the worst hangover. Mm. Yeah, your body gets used to it,
Yeah, so you build up hangover tolerance over time?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Homa's struggling big time right now.
You stay drunk is what you do.
Well, did you guys see what Ole Miss did at their spring game? My gosh, dude, this is probably the most lively spring game of all time. Lane Kiffin is pulling out all the bells and whistles. I don't know if there was free beers involved, but I'm sure there was beers involved. Now, there was a dunk contest. They pull out, they roll out a basketball hoop, and they're in the stadium. They're doing dunk contests with
the football
players. Yeah, so it looks like it was some of the football players. I don't know if some of the basketball players got involved, but definitely a couple of the football players. And they were, I mean, a legit dunk contest. I mean, that was sweet. And then they had Lane Kiffin picked up the phone and called his buddy Joey Jaws to come out for the hot dog eating contest. And so one of our great American athletes over the last decade, Joey Jaws, shows up to Ole Miss, and in the midst of spring football action, he jumps in. So they do the hot dog eating contest there with a handful of contestants from Ole Miss. I presume they're all students. And then in the final 90 seconds, they had Joey Jaws jump in and start competing and see if he could end up winning. He chased them all down in 90 seconds.
Oh, my goodness.
20 dogs.
Wow.
20 dogs in 90 seconds. No. And you can just, like, you can see the dripping of the water because he's drowning these dogs before he shot. And I'm noticing the technique here. He's doing two at a time.
Yes.
It's two dogs at a time. Sometimes so he'll just go.
It's going through his fingers.
It's going through his fingers. Yeah. The juices are flying everywhere. Yeah. It's patently disgusting. But
how big a dog pieces do you think he's swallowing here? Like a quarter of a dog?
I think it's more like half, bro.
Half a dog.
Yeah, and at any given time, I think he's got like five or six in his mouth while he's in the process of getting some of them down and then putting more in. He's just shoving them. He just shoves them in while he's already got three or four in there. He's swallowing some of them.
How does it, man?
He's a different breed, though. Like, he doesn't have the same type of jugular as the rest of us. I think that's pretty well obvious at this point. This guy's built different, and he's putting the work in. So, I mean, kudos to him. They described him like, you know, Picasso painting a picture, getting to watch him yesterday do that. So that was pretty special. But shout out to Lane Kiffin and shout out to Ole Miss, really livening up the spring game situation.
Absolutely.
Instead of just watching a bunch of third stringers who might not even be on the team, you actually get a chance to, here's a dunk contest, here's Joey Jaws, like hot dog eating contest. I'd like to think this will start to become more of a trend.
Absolutely. I think it should be a trendsetter. Speaking of cool stuff, I just peeked over in the bullpen, and throwing gas is one Mike Peasley, who's got your pregame tonight. It's coming up in just over an hour.
He's back. Jared's in Detroit, huh?
Yeah, Sands has the TV call
tonight.
He's
just a world champion.
No, I think he's in for Nadell.
Oh, he's in for Nadell on radio.
He's doing some radio action, painting the picture.
And Bassick is also up there doing TV.
He's doing TV, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So a very, very fun series, and hopefully a bounce back series coming up with the Rangers in Detroit here coming up at 5 o'clock with the pregame 5:41st pitch. We have Tyler Smith audio. How would this impact how you are looking at his role and position in the future? Who's all not at offseason workouts? And where do we go from here with Cowboys extensions? That's coming up next here. A little C-note for you on your home of the Cowboys. That's Cowboys news of the evening here on 105.3 The Fan.